Blog Talk Radio.
With the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxide. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place far away from the raw where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
Whoa. Man, whenever I hear that PSA, I'm like, whoa, air pollution is no joke. So we have to do our best, right? Live green. Oh, I'm so excited. Can you hear it? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Welcome to the weekend edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Report, and I'm super excited, and I know many of you are also, because the awesome, awesome, awesome true God is here right now. And we're no small talk. We're just going to zoom into talking with the true God tonight, you know, like to talk about other things that's happening. But, hey, we need to know what's going on, because he has been up to a lot of things. A lot of things. Everything that he talked about back in June and July, he's really doing it. Doing it like it's nobody's business. So if you all missed the first two interviews back in the summertime, hey, catch up on it, check it out, but definitely tune into this talk. So this is here and now. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Baltimore-based independent artist. He's a community activist. He's co-host of one of the most popular shows here on blogtalkradio.com, Wrestling Heads. He and his friends co-host that. Then he's preparing to premiere his own show in the very, very near future. You can tweet him at True God Immortal. That's True, TrueGodImmortal. I don't know. I think he might be. I'm sure he's tweeting while we're on air. So if you want to tweet with him now, I'm sure you can. And also check out his YouTube channel. I love his YouTube channel, True God TV. For those of you that want to see what's going on as we talk, feel free to call. Feel free to chat in the chat room. Call in, make a comment, say what's up, you know, ask questions, because he's filled with a wealth of information. And I wondered if he was just going to stay with us a few minutes or the entire show, and he said he'll stay with us for the 90 minutes. And sometimes the show can go on Saturday nights. We can party for up to 3 hours. But, you know, we're scheduled for 90 minutes, and he said he would do the 90 minutes. So feel free to call and talk with us, okay? Here is his song, Z, inspired by, at the time, his daughter had not arrived into the world yet, and he had not shared with us what her name would be. So the name of the song is Z, but the baby girl's name is Zuri, which we found out. So I want to send much love to him and his family and all those whom he worked with. And thank you, international listeners, those in the States, those here in Jacktown, those of you in Baltimore, all over the world. Thank you for listening to tonight's show, because nothing but a party. Here's True God.
Yeah. My own mother won't respect me as a man. We don't have a conversation without getting out of hand. Now I'm about to have a daughter, so our problems just expand. We used to be a unit, start to feel like we disband. Single mother home, she was mostly alone. So the day I moved out, guess she felt she wanna own. And for that simple fact, we've been fighting all the time. I've been gone 6 years, I just want some peace of mind. You think that she'd be happy with me? I'm successful, but every time I see her, it's always something stressful. Said I don't give a fuck, calling me neglectful. I try to speak my mind and she calls me disrespectful. Playing little games, trying to push every button. Never once said she's proud, I made something out of nothing. So what do I say to my child about a granny? And what do I say to my child about our family?
You can talk to your blue in the face about family and what it all means, but you gotta show your meaning. It's really easy to say the word, but your actions show the lines of birth. You gotta show your meaning.
My uncle's 54, still living with my mother. He's trying to give advice and she listens to her brother. I never listened to him, never really had a reason. Never thought my uncle was somebody to believe in. In and out of jail, got a child he ain't raised. Would never give credit for this path that I paved. Knowing him the way I do, I'd never have trust. Especially when he looks at young girls with such lust. And I mean, sure, she's just a baby in the womb. But what happens if I go to leave her in the room? And maybe I'd be wrong to assume. But what if I'm right? Cause in my mind, something just ain't right. So what do I say to my child if she ends up molested? The onus is on me, cause I should've second-guessed it. Just wish everybody really practice what they preach. So what do I say to my child? I'm left speechless.
You can talk to your blue in the face about family and what it all means, but you gotta show your meaning. It's real easy to say the word, but your actions show the lines of blur. You gotta show your meaning.
They say that family goes through trials and tribulations. What if we fall apart? Should we fight for visitation? So what do I say to my child on this basis? And try to explain why our family didn't make it. Perhaps something worse, ain't think of it at first. So how did you explain that her mama died at birth? But that's too far-fetched, so we try to make it work. Pretty sure we'll be okay, but it changes what's in spurts. I don't wanna raise our child in court. We pissed off at each other, just arguing over child support. And in my head I have the wildest thoughts, thinking for every broken family it's just another child that's lost. So now I'm hoping for matrimony and never alimony. I say a prayer and hope that angels are smiling on me. So many people let the small break the big. And my mind is me and you, it's on us to raise these kids. So I try not to be the man that my father was. I plan to give you both my heart and a father's love.
You can talk to your blue in the face about family and what it all means, but you gotta show your meaning. It's real easy to say the word, but your actions show the lines of blur. You gotta show your meaning.
Sophomore LP DOA was dropped this past July. Well, here he is, because I'm sure you all are saying, well, hey, stop running your mouth. Let's talk to a true God immortal. So here he is. What's up, true God?
What's up? What's up? What's going on?
What's going on with you? That's what's going on. Super excited to have you back.
I'm excited to be back. I was looking forward to this. I knew I was going to come back around.
Good. So excited. So I have to keep my composure because you're always full of hype and good information. So what's been going on since July? I know a lot.
Oh man, I can't even go into so many details, so many things. And I'll say good and bad. A lot of things have been going on so much. Musically, DOA has been taking off, working on a lot of different projects. you know, trying to keep everything together on the personal side. It's been a lot. I mean, I can be as revealing as possible in this interview. So you can ask me anything.
Oh, we could. We love that. I know, we love that. We love that, and you and share anything. If you feel it's something we should know that I do not ask about, please inform us. That's what it's all about. This is a good outlet for you to come to and just tell us everything. Let us hear it from you and no one else. Wow, I know, because I'm wondering, you are so into so many different things, and really, you are just multi-talented. Some people are into things and just spreading yourself too thin, but you don't spread yourself thin. You are just effortless, working hard and smart. And sometimes it look like things seem like you're so talented. It seems like it's easy, but I know that's not true.
Well, to be real, I think from my artistic talents and things like that to work, that's not really hard for me at all. That's very easy.
Okay.
I think the challenge comes with just balancing everything.
So, with balancing all the endeavors
I'm getting myself into, and at the same time trying to, maintain composure and outside of business, it's a lot of takes on me. I have, a daughter, she's 4 months.
Yes, we want to know about what's going on with your queen and your princess. So,
I have to be honest. My princess is doing perfectly fine. As far as everything else, I can't say everything is great. Things are okay. Things are okay with everything else outside of my daughter. My daughter's beautiful. She's great. Everything is going so well with that. Everything else will work itself out, I believe, in the end.
Exactly. Myself and the listeners, we're vibing with you. We're praying for everything just to work out for the best. We're feeling.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I think. Just to give people an idea, it's just a lot. The mental aspect of what's happening, being like new parents, when you're working tirelessly on stuff, a lot of times you're independent and do your own thing. Financially, it can be rewarding, and then there's times you have to wait for everything because you're not, directly getting a paycheck. It's like you're waiting for royalties to come in, and you're creating different opportunities, and you're putting money out. So, you take that on with the responsibility financially of a new child and everything else. It can be very, mentally taxing and emotionally draining with everything.
Exactly. Thank you for sharing that. It's a lot of independent artists and a lot of listeners who obviously support independent artists like you and I. I'm an independent artist and independent entrepreneur. And so I'm glad you are vocalizing that, because many independent artists and those of us that work hard in the community, some of our loved ones on the outside don't understand it. So I'm glad you're sharing that.
And it's just my mission is always going to be the same. Regardless, I can't stop. For me, no matter what, I can't stop. And, I feel like I'm paving the way for my daughter. And I want her to know, same things that I know, the work ethic that I have, I want her to have the same work ethic that her mother has, I want her to have that as well. So it's just, it's one of those things where, at this time, it's just watching her grow and everything else kind of after that. But at the same time, I still devote a lot of time to these endeavors because it's like they don't wait. Time waits for nobody. So.
Yeah. And so, wow, you're really putting your energy in your work, because now it's not just you. You have your offspring, your little princess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that she's a motivator. I know you're a self-motivator, but you have this extra motivator now. Okay, Dad, you can do this.
And you know, it's funny because she's like a big reason of why I am the way I am. Even more so, you know, I recently, you know, started working like a, I guess you'd say a regular job on top of everything else too. And you know, and it's just really funny because now it seems like that regular job I guess might be ending effective like today or yesterday or whatever. I don't really make a difference to me. But you know, when I was in that job, that corporate job for a couple months, I started to realize that the revolutionary inside of me does not die inside of corporate America. It's even more, you know. I'm even more outspoken. If something's not right, you know, typical corporate companies are so, you know, they're so incompetent and they don't really understand anything from a human side. It still comes out of me.
Everything's so cookie cutter and robotic, huh? So, oh my goodness, so the rebel still lives on, even became stronger, huh?
It definitely got stronger. I mean, there's going to a company that was, you know, like a new company and, you know, company where I believe that I could take over, and then I have my, you know, my producer, Sweet on the Beat, you know, she's down, she's currently working there now, and so I just kind of, you know, did an overhaul of the whole business, and I wanted to, you know, take it over with my team. And then, you know, you get in there, and it seems like you don't know how to talk to people, and, you know, they try to have you on slave labor, and I'm not one to just sit back and bite my tongue.
Exactly.
So, you know, it comes out like that. And I understand they don't like it, and it didn't make a difference to me. I can care less. You know, I can always create opportunities. I've said this to people, you know, that I've worked with before. It's like, I never believe you should depend on corporate America to, you know, for your success, create success. As long as you have talent, you can find a way to make it work. It's a longer road there, but, you know, it's a lot more beneficial for you as a person and for your soul.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because I talk to I have a lot of friends who are entrepreneurs or work in corporate America or have left corporate America. And so many of my friends who have left corporate America, they always say, I wish I knew what I know now then, you know, back then when I was working in corporate America. You know, they're like, oh, my God. You know,
there's so many opportunities out here for people to create, and, you know, I feel like if people knew, I feel like corporate America in a way can be a way to keep your self-esteem low, because, you know, the way that they treat their workers, especially in most of the companies that I've worked at in corporate America, I used to some big companies and, you know, high-paying companies, like, you know, no matter how good of a record or Fortune 500 or whatever they, you know, or who they're affiliated with, it still seems like they're very incompetent. You know, they don't know how to run a business. And you know, in my mind, when you run a business, you know, it has to be beneficial on both sides, not only for your employees, those who work for you, but for, you know, the company itself. And if everything's all about the company, if, you know, two shits about the people who work there, that's an issue. That's a problem.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. Please, listeners, call in and join the conversation, because we would love to hear what's on your mind, and True God would love to answer any questions that you have also regarding not just the music industry. He's working on, fashion merchandise, comic books, plays, you name it. So you can ask him any and everything. But incompetency. You think it's boring sometimes when one is working in corporate America.
You know, it's so funny for me with corporate America because, like, it's so different to see people who may have worked in the industry, you know, have worked in the industry for like 15 or 20 years, and then, you know, they get the chance to run the business, and then they completely just screw it up. And
that's a good point. And then you're thinking, well, this person has worked in management in corporate America for all these years. Why can't you run a business? Yeah, that is a good point.
And, you know, I don't understand, you know, it's difficult to run a business, you know. I think I'm personally, you know, experiencing that it's difficult to run your own business, let alone a business that, you know, is funded by somebody and has like 100 employees. But, you know, when I see the things that people do, I just feel like it's fair. You know, you can't inconvenience people and then, you know, look down on them. And or there's a lot of discrimination still going on in corporate America.
Repeat that.
It's a lot of discrimination that's still going on in corporate America.
Wow. And you're not just talking race. It's discrimination, period, right?
Oh, yes, period. I mean, there's racism, there's sexism.
Uh-huh. Ageism.
It's all over.
Yeah. That is a good point. Wow. Yeah, because sometimes we hear it a lot when some companies are, like, downsizing and then they might ask their like senior managers to resign early and take their pension and all that early, and wow, then you always hear about suicide. You always hear about like in corporate America when senior managers or bosses commit suicide and stuff like that. You know, so it is something going on. I'm glad you're bringing this up because that's something that you rarely hear people talk about outside of business programs.
you know,
what's going on in corporate America?
And it's so funny to me because, I work with people who, I'm like the main revolutionary, I guess, in the class. And it's funny because the employees that work there were predominantly black. And then you have, the managers, however, were predominantly white. And it became a situation where they spoke to actual, workers a certain way, that just made me, I don't think this is a certain way you talk to people, and I don't like how they talk to people.
They call
the people that work there kids. And I was like, these are grown people, like grown ass, men and women. And you can't, speak an opinion without them like they said something like you need to be thankful for what you have. And for one, the company didn't even pay the people who actually worked on the floor. They don't even pay you, that much money, considering the level of work that, was being done. It was actually like 90% of other companies actually pay, 40 to 50% higher per hour than that company. So it was a situation where they pretty much had, they were overworking people, and, they were taking advantage of their workers.
And not paying people overworking and not paying people overtime or what they're worth. Wow.
Yeah, and it's funny because in corporate America, at other previous jobs that I've worked in, if I wanted to get overtime or if I wanted to stay longer or get more hours, the company welcomes that. They'll say, hey, that shows a difference in their drive. At this company, it's like, no, we don't want to even give you 40 hours per week, and they promise people, that it will be 40 hours, and then they change it up, they push the schedules on people, and they don't have any return, and they say, we can do this time, and it was really inconsiderate to so many people, and, I just became more outspoken because it's like, you're not going to treat me over, you're not going to fuck me over, and I'm going to sit there and take it like everybody else. And it was like 80 people who worked there. And I'm one of the only people who spoke up.
I bet they didn't talk to you in a disrespectful manner, though. Sometimes
they tried.
I know you put them in that plane.
It's funny, as recently as yesterday. I'll share this because I have no time being real and honest. They came to me and told me I went to the bathroom too much. And they told me you should try to limit your bathroom, until like your lunch break. And I was like, there's no way I'm gonna hold my piss. So you guys are so comfortable.
Exactly.
And I guess that's why my quote unquote job there is not probably not going to continue. But I mean, it's illegal to tell somebody to hold their bladder. Like you don't know what type of person is actually have my bladder.
Not that you would do that, but do they want a lawsuit? There's a lawyer list. I know my lawyer friends are listening. There's a lawyer saying,
I've already looked into that. already. We're already thinking about going that route because the companies are so high and mighty. I just think it'd be funny to just kind of, you know.
Yeah, because look at you, able-bodied adult man. Look at you, but think about a coworker of yours that really goes to the bathroom more than you and have a medical situation, you know.
And you know, that's not nice.
They're getting on you. Just think about how they're getting on other people that really do have to, you know, have a medical condition.
And I'll be honest with you, I go to the restroom a lot too.
I understand what you're saying because I go to the restroom a lot. and you probably not going to the restroom a lot. That's just them talking.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I've spoken about this, my lady talked about this. And, you know, she was like, well, you know, it seems like they're just kind of, you know, like, kind of pick with you and pick with you and pick with you. There's so many different things that, you know, went on. And she was like, they're really picking with you. And it's because of the fact that I'm very outspoken. And they do a lot of stupid things with the company. So I have no problem telling you just something stupid.
Well, I can imagine that you're very professional, too. So you're probably an asset to the company.
Oh yeah, I honestly get more work than everybody there, and I was taking on more responsibilities than a lot of other people. So it doesn't even make sense why they wouldn't tell me the decency and respect that I give them at the job. I mean, I come to work, I stick to my schedule, and it was kind of like I don't think they like me personally. And I didn't really care. You don't have to like me. That's not what I'm here for, you know.
Exactly. You're not there for a personal reason, even though it's good to be able to get along with your coworkers.
I'll be honest. I have a lot of love for my coworkers. My coworkers are great.
Well, you're talking about upper management,
but,
huh?
Yeah, upper management is the biggest issue. That company is, you know, it sucks ass because of the upper management. Upper management is a complete idiot.
Wow. Now, that's affecting the morale of the entire company. Upper management need to find out what's going on. Wow.
And that's the thing. The upper management, it's a situation where it's a buddy system where, you know, they all know each other outside of work and they all give themselves manager positions. So, you know, you can't really go to one manager and say, okay, this man is giving me an issue because they're just going to be like, oh, that's my friend, and they don't care. So, you know, it's a really bad situation.
I'm concerned about what you when you say that the upper management, where the management, there's very few people of color. In management.
Oh, there's nobody. There's nobody of color in upper management. I mean, there's two black supervisors. But, you know, one of them is basically getting ready to leave.
Yep.
And the other one, probably won't be there much longer.
Probably keep getting looked over for promotions.
Because that's usually when a supervisor or manager leaves
because they keep getting overlooked. From what I've heard,
you know, the supervisors aren't actually getting paid that much. And they also deal with some of the stresses that the regular workers deal with too. So it's a situation where it's just a lot of bad things that come with it. And it's like it's about who you know at that company, and you know. They're idiots. They're idiots. And I realize that corporate America, you know, breeds a lot of idiots.
Wow. Oh, I wish you could say what type of work you're doing and what company you're working for. Because it sounds like it's probably on the outside to us, it sounds like it's a reputable company. It's amazing It's amazing what you hear about companies that you think their image is one thing, but the internal is different.
And that's the thing. It's just that their image is bad because nobody speaks positive about this company at all.
Oh my God!
You know, it's really a subsidiary of a bigger company. Like they have like 40 different affiliates, and it's a very big company, and they take a lot of trips around the world. But, you know, it's still a thing where this new division that they set up is being horribly run, and the office morale is ridiculously negative, and they look at the employees like, oh, you guys are negative, and it's like, no, the manager's negative, you're idiots, and, you know, we just want you guys to get things right.
But the managers and supervisors, they're the ones that set the atmosphere.
Yeah, and they don't really realize.
Like coaches and quarterbacks on the football team, you know. They're the ones that set the morale for a company and for the
employees.
That's
the weird thing.
And that's the weird thing.
Is that, you know, you think, they've lost a lot of employees over the last 5 months. They've lost, I'd say, like 50. Yeah, like 50 employees over the last 5 months, and they keep wondering why. And I'm looking at them like, you know, everybody who's quitting and leaving, most of them are leaving because of the fact they're getting tired of putting up with, you know, your incompetence and your, you know, idiocy. Like, it's not hard to see, you know, if two employees left, okay, you can chalk that up to maybe them just not being happy or finding a better job. When 50 employees leave, you know, that's, you got to look in the mirror as a company. You can't, and they think everything they do is right, and it's kind of, it's just funny to me because I think they have no idea how to run a business.
Wow. I'm speechless. Some of the listeners probably saying, that sounds like my place of employment. But, you know, but wow. But it's good you're exposing this. Because some people don't realize what people have to go through. Yeah, and some managers and supervisors, they think, well, look at everybody. Jobs are hard to get by. You should be glad that you have this one. So that's what you're talking about. Sometimes they have that attitude, like you should be glad you're working.
Yeah.
I know some of them have that attitude.
And for me, I become like a therapist to some of the people who I work with because they go through a lot of things. And for me, it's kind of like I just tell them, you know, don't put everything, especially like the younger ones. Like the management,
have a buddy system. You and your coworkers, they have shared you information too. They have a buddy system too, huh?
It's really like that. I think a lot of people, you know, they look at me, you know, in a certain light. Because I've stepped up to become like a leader of that entire, you know, of that floor. Like, that's what I do. Like, I always step up to become a leader. That's just who I am. It naturally comes out there like that, to be honest.
That's good. And it sounds like you're a liaison. So if they lose you, that sounds like they're really going to hurt.
Yeah, and they look at it like, okay, we could just find somebody else to replace them. But it's bigger than that. I mean, like, you know, I keep office morale up. And, you know, a lot of people would say they would go crazy if I wasn't there. So it's a situation where, you know, they're about to find out. You know.
Yeah, they will find out. I mean, if you're going to work there, I guess for maybe the rest of the after the holidays, they should wake up.
And that's the thing.
If you leave, many others might go behind you and go with you.
And that's the thing. I mean, I've already had something else set up. You know, it's like a position with another new company where I guess I can actually kind of run that. And you know, if I'm going to be in corporate America, I can't be a worker bee. I have to be, you know, in some type of boss position because it doesn't fit me to be just somebody who's, you know, supposed to be yes master, you know, something like that. Because
yeah.
That's what they want.
Because you're proactive, you're a leader, and I know this, but I can just imagine you like to be helpful to your coworkers, to those that you work with too. So sometimes you know, you probably can better explain to some of your coworkers certain things and duties that need to be done than the managers.
No, definitely, definitely, and it's so much, you know, like sheer lack of knowledge that people have with a lot of things, and I find myself learning everything fast and helping other people. You know, so they can get better. And just so I can get better, period, as a worker, you know, just continuously evolving as a worker regardless.
Wow, you probably motivate people and have built others' confidence in their work.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just imagine
that's kind of
all the point. It sounds like some of those managers might have those people feeling like ish. But have
with
like you, that's very motivating.
I'll quote something that a couple of employees said to me. Said, I know I don't mean anything to this company. I don't mean shit to this company, so it's okay. And, you know, for me, I tell them, you know, never measure your worth by a company. Know your worth not only as a worker, but as a person, as a human being, and, you know, always keep that. Always stick with that. And I've told that to, you know, not just coworkers, you know, even my lady. It was time when she was dealing with something at work.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, I said, you know your worth. You know, never let them sell you short for less than what you are. You know who you are as a worker, who you are as a person, and you always, you know, never forget that, because corporate America, or anything, period, even just people, period, you know, they take for granted, you know, who they have and what they have. So you have to know your worth as a person, as a worker, as a, you know, whatever you do. Know your worth. That way, you know, you never sell yourself short. And I say that even to artists.
Yeah, exactly.
Never sell yourself short.
Never sell yourself short.
That's what I was just thinking. Independent artists listening, you hear them, know your worth. Because we, those of us entrepreneurs, independent artists, we really hear from a lot of people. I don't think people realize it. Those that love us and consider themselves fans and true friends and peers, some of them, I mean, peers can relate, but some people that just love our work, they just don't know. There are some naysayers out there that talk about us like it ain't nothing. And that can be that can be like, oh my God, what am I, like what? I'm just like amazed at some things I hear. But
yeah,
like I said this other day on my show, I said to one a-hole, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of others that really show you real support and real love. And I love it when people do provide constructive criticism, you know, and good feedback. We need that. But those that just talk down and want to belittle us and belittle our work and our talents, that's sad.
And, you know, with me, I'm not even going to lie. I run this time last year. I had a couple of, like, detractors, a couple of haters. And, you know, for me, just coming from my background, I came up, you know, my natural reaction is to lash out at people.
Yeah.
So there's a song that's it's called Immortal Battle Cry, and I'm addressing, like, a couple of people who I've had an issue with. And I wish I would have had the song for you today.
Oh, yeah, I wish, too, because I think we talked about it before. I wish, too.
Yeah, and... It's really aggressive, and you know, it was directed at people who were kind of just tossing shots and, you know, trying to, you know, discredit everything that, you know, we were doing in the movement. And now I don't think I would respond the same way. I don't really give a lot of energy to the haters anymore.
Because it's there. But you know, it's sad when you know that there's when the naysayers, then it's bad. Also, when you hear something, you ever hear something about yourself? Like, I didn't know I did that. You ever hear, like, rumors about yourself?
Yeah.
Like, what? When did I do that? When? What happened? You know, I'm like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Because sometimes I'm like, okay, when did I do this? What happened? I think I've died maybe 3 times. I think I've died maybe 3 times. And I'm like, well, how did I die? You know? So I'm crazy stuff. So I'm like, man, but then, like you said, that stuff can drain you if you just let it get at you. But I'm so glad. I'm loving the internet, and I'm loving how we can communicate nowadays in real time. You know, and
like
I said, if I don't ask you something, be sure to share it with us. Now we can really about on both our shows, on your show, Wrestling Heads, on your new show. On this show, we can let people know what we're going through. And see, I'm similar to you. I'm real open about myself. I do my best not to include other people that I know don't want their their life exposed to the world. But I'm like you. I'm like an open book. You know, I'll talk to you about anything. On air, in private, I'm always chatting on in private messages or, you know, with people. Because I'm like, okay, you want to talk to me? There's some things I meant to talk about in private. Okay, let's go. So private message means you can, some people tell you, I know about that. She told me in private, you know, because I do tell people what they want to know. Not just what they want to know, but the truth. You want to know, okay, I'll tell you this in private because everybody don't want to know. Because some people will say, well, why are you telling all this? Sometimes I like to answer frequently asked questions on Facebook or on here. And some people are like, well, why are you telling all your business? Because these are frequently asked questions, and I don't mind telling people the truth.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, that's exactly how I feel. You know, I mean, my music is so personal and so revealing. But, you know, you know, it's still a layer that's not even included in the music that I haven't even touched yet. The next album is probably going to be like that.
Oh, my God. Your next album, 2013. I can't even imagine what your next album would be like.
I give people just a quick window into what my creative process is like. Because I'll be honest, I've actually had a lot of trouble writing for this new album.
Wow.
And the reason why is because of the fact I feel like it's a challenge for me to always outdo myself. But you know, inspiration comes from so many different places. And I don't have as much inspiration for this next album. I think it's because of the fact emotionally, mentally, the last 4 or 5 months have been so draining for me. That, you know, I think I needed to step back for a while from music and kind of just focus on, you know, being a father and, you know, other endeavors. You know, I've been putting some of them into music for years. I've been, you know, actually writing music for so long that, you know, when I get to this point, it's like, okay, I need to refresh myself and remind myself why I love making music. And, you know, so this album, it's been really hard. I have my laptop has been down for a while now, so I'm not able to actually, you know, like, always, you know, go in and, you know, listen to beats when I want to and things like that, so I'm kind of more vibing with without music and just writing, you know, randomly what I feel and, you know, trying to explain everything and just trying to put it together in, you know, a storytelling way that people can also relate to it.
And it's
probably different for people here because lyrically, I'm always writing, but for albums, it's so much different from just writing a verse or, you know, doing a verse for me, you know, because lyrically, I can still kill anything, you know. But just album-wise takes so much out of me personally that, you know, I think I need to reflect on it. And, you know, the next album is going to be called The Black Experience.
The Black Experience, okay.
Yeah. And it's going to be so much. I do have a couple of songs. There's a song called The Greatest Show. And it's gonna be a 9-minute epic song. It's really touching a lot of issues as far as like blackface, minstrel shows that, you know, used to go on and new age minstrel shows and kind of touching on, you know, like Hollywood and the depiction of black life and black people. It's really allowed me to dig deep and actually talk about some of the things that I haven't, you know, touched on 100%. And in the past album, so I think by me not, you know, having the simple inspiration is always and, you know, been a little bit tougher, that I'm pulling more out of myself than, you know, than I thought I would this, you know, this soon.
Wow. And what's the name of that first song again?
It's called The Greatest Show.
The Greatest Show.
And yeah, we're still working on it. I think with this album, I'm kind of taking my time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with like Soul Revival and DOA, you know, both of those albums, I recorded and wrote those in like 2 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this one, I'm kind of, you know, plotting out everything, making everything, like, epic, and, you know, just kind of taking my time and everything. And all the while, we're still working on music. There's a mixtape that's going to be coming out pretty soon with my whole team on it.
Team
You know, right? Yeah.
Team
Yep.
Okay. When will we
and
see
that's
that?
Gonna be,
will that be
that's
before
gonna be I don't think it'll be before the end of the year because I want to mix it down and everything and kind of. I'm thinking January. More than likely January. It could actually be the first of January.
Oh, that would be good. Kick off the year.
Yeah, start off the year. And my whole team are they're working on solo projects right now. So. And I'm kind of, you know.
We can shout them out, guys. You guys feel free to call in, too.
Shout out to Speed on the Beat.
Okay.
Speed on the Beat, he's got his album, Song 4, which will be coming. I don't think he's finalized the date. I think maybe January or February of this, 2013. We're still working on that. I've been kind of helping him with that. We've been kind of working on that together. And, you know, once we get that out, I think then I'll be able to get sit down and really work on my next album. And we got some female MCs we've been working with on projects that are going to be, you know, get down with the team.
Please, shout the ladies out.
We have a couple people. I can't put the names out right now. I don't want to do that yet.
Okay, a few. You know what? I hear from some of them. So I'm going to I'm not going to say their names, but what's up? Because I just thank you, because sometimes I'm caught off guard and I hear from your friends and they consider me part of the family too. So I want to thank you for that, because I have heard from a couple of female MCs that's on your team. So I kind of have an idea who you're talking about, because I've heard from them. Because I said to my, I'm like, who is that? So I'm like, okay, but you consider me part of the family. That's cool. Okay. Beauty and talent.
Exactly.
I've seen your beautiful MCs and fierce and talented too. So you guys, and we ladies, we love it when the female MCs come out that are really talented.
And that's the thing, you know, we're working tirelessly, you know, on creating like a new wave, you know, because there's gonna come a time where, you know. You know, I might not always want to put an album out every year or twice a year, so, you know, the team can, you know, take over that. There's so many different things that I'm personally working on that not everybody in the team is working on. You know, so, like everybody in the team is main focus on music. With me, it's like music is a main focus. There's also, you know, future movies that we're going to be working on and books and comic books and, you know, even trying to do stage plays and just getting into so many different things that we're working on. And, you know.
Yes,
and Paul, I know.
Because, you know, we have a lot of. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. And a lot of my friends who are comic fans and, you know, and consider themselves geeks. I know some of you don't consider yourself geeks and nerds, but many of us do. We want to hear about these comic books and what you're working on and your characters. Whatever you can share, because I know a lot of...
Well, the thing is, it's based around the team. It's actually based around the team. You know, the team DAR movement. You know, the thing about the team is that it's going to be like us, you know, like revolting against the system, you know, bringing revolution. But it's also going to be done with like a sci-fi twist. There's going to be some different things going on there. There'll be like a true god, Speed on the Beat, you know, the rest of the team, you know, kind of fighting like, you know, a mass of like, secret societies, the government, you know, even aliens are looking at stuff like that.
Wow.
You know, zombies. It's a lot of stuff that, you know, that we're going to bring.
You said it now. A lot of we love talking about zombies. zombies and all that. You said it there. Okay, my Comic-Con friends. Man, this is going to be real. We can't wait.
Yeah, you know, it's just something that I've always, you know, I've always been a fan of comic books. I know I'm not as, you know, avid a fan as a lot of people. that yeah. I, you know, that I've come in contact with. But
yeah.
this is something that I thought would be really cool. You know, Speed on the Beat actually is he's a great artist. He can actually, you know, draw very well. And I'll be honest, I'm not that good of a draw. You know, I can't draw that well.
Mm-hmm.
But I could come up with the storylines and everything, you know, behind that and the dialogue that's needed.
And a description of how you want every the characters and everyone to look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we work together on that, and you know, that'll be coming soon. We're just finalizing everything. You know, like, 2013 is going to be such a busy year. I don't even know how much time to do anything. Like, even just get up and just, you know, like, just brush my teeth. Or just, like, I feel like I'm rushing to the bed, though.
Brush your teeth, please.
No, I mean, I always do. It's just like, that's just so much, you know.
It's so much to do.
Yeah. And, you know, outside of comic book, you know, I have the radio show. It's funny because I have, you know, wrestling here that we do. And then I have the, you know, the radio station, you know, radio show for the team coming up that we've been working on and, you know, just trying to finalize everything with that.
Because I've been wondering when it's going to premiere. Now, is it going to premiere here on Blog Talk Radio or elsewhere?
It's going to be on Blog Talk Radio. We're still working on it. It's just that I don't have everything up yet that I want. So, you know, I'd rather wait until it's, you know, really ready before I present it to the public.
Exactly.
So that'll be probably, you know, January, February.
Yeah, it's most definitely good to be prepared. And you just have to wait. You want to be presented.
Yeah, and then I also, interesting enough, I have another radio show that I'm going to be a part of.
Okay, tell us about that one.
Well, my boy Skits, he's one of the co-hosts of WrestleHead. And he has an underground hip hop radio show that he's getting ready to start, and he wanted me to be a co-host on that too.
Wow.
So I'm going to be co-hosting that pretty soon. I'm not sure of the name yet. I think that's the end of the month it's going to start.
Okay, we'll start here at Blog Talk Radio?
Yep, it's going to be Blog Talk Radio. I think we already got it set up.
And it's underground?
It's an underground hip-hop radio show. I'm not sure the official name yet. I'll be honest, I haven't got all the information. I just know they need me to co-host. And, you know, I was like, well, I'm doing like 30 other jobs, so why not?
Exactly. So that will be premiering before Christmas.
Yeah, definitely before Christmas.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we need that. You know, I do my best to play as much underground independent hip hop music as I can and remixes and so on, but I pretty much play underground music of most genres. But I'm just amazed at the wealth of underground artists out there. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I play mainstream music too, but underground and independent artists, oh my God, the music that I am reviewing, oh my God, I need an assistant just to review music. But I love listening to stuff on my own, but, you know, just getting stuff together. I mean, there's so much talent out there. And I'm like,
Definitely.
With the popularity of these music reality shows, sometimes I wonder, wait a second. I mean, there's a lot of talent on these reality shows, but it seems like, either these people, the people that I know, aren't auditioning for these shows, you know? Because talent that I know beat out a lot of the talent I see on these reality shows. I'm serious.
Oh,
you know I'm telling the truth, because you know a lot of, you're talented and you know a lot of talented people.
Yeah, I try not to watch reality shows anymore. It's just funny to me, but yeah, I definitely see a lot of talented people, you know, everyday situations.
Exactly. I'm like, wow. Yeah, so you all keep doing what you're doing. That's why I'm always shouting out underground independent artists. So I'm glad this new underground hip-hop music show will be premiered. Because we need more here on Blog Talk Radio. There's a lot of music shows here on Blog Talk Radio, but we need that more in that niche.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for me to do stuff like that and just kind of, you know, give light to the, you know, guys up and coming. Because, you know, as I guess as my stature moves up, I kind of, you know, get into in a higher position where I can reach back and kind of, you know, help other people out. So that's definitely a goal of mine is to continue helping, you know, the underground and the independent artists grow.
Yeah, wow. And all his, like Snoop Dogg and other artists, love independent and underground artists. Because I think Snoop Dogg and it's a lot of artists, I love how they stick to their underground roots. You know, there's some artists out there, they're mainstream and A-listers, but they stick to their underground roots and the way they present themselves. Have you noticed that? Snoop Dogg is one. I'm sure you can name a lot of other people. I guess Jay-Z, he is one that maintains, he's mainstream, but he maintains that underground way of doing things.
Well, see, I look at a lot of artists that are mainstream, and for me, it's really hard to tell whether or not they really have a real genuine grasp on things. So I tend not to speak on some of them because I don't know for a second if they're really genuine, if they still have that underground. I mean, it's like they still have that hustle.
Yes, that's a good point. They have that hunger. Yeah.
The hunger never dies. Coming from the environment, that we all came from, especially where I came from, it's like a hustle and a hunger that's there, you know, it never dies. You know, no matter how much you get, you know, you're always thanking God for your blessings and, you know, appreciative of what you have, but you always want more because when you start to rest and say this is enough, you'll never go farther than that. So you always want to keep, you know, thinking that there's always more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And even when watching interviews or just observing people, and just, you know, like you said, we just have, all of us pretty much, we have that hunger and that hustle. Well, not all of us, but most of us, those of us are people that are like us, like-minded.
Yeah.
But there are some people that on the outside wonder, like those that have reached ultimate success on the outside, to those of us on the outside, sometimes you hear, in interviews, the question being asked, so what drives you? Even I ask people, entrepreneurs and artists, so what drives you to continue doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm asking you that. Oh, what drives you to continue doing what you're doing?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's just a personal thing for me. I'm always going to outdo myself and always continue to get, you know, my hands into different things. So it's kind of just, you know, a situation where if somebody tells me that I can't do this or I see an industry that I haven't tackled yet, I'll automatically look at that and say, I can tackle that and, you know, I can take over that industry or I can take over this or I can do that or I can put my bid in on this. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people tell me, like, you know, we were thinking about doing a video game and it's just time consuming. That's gonna take at least a few years to finally finish. So you know we do have that as a tentative idea, but it just hasn't kind of fruition yet. But that's definitely something I want to do. You know? I feel that there's nothing really that's gonna stop you except yourself. So you know that's what drives me the most is self motivation. And you know there's everything else on the side. Like my daughter's definitely motivation. And, you know, that's a big motivation, but, you know, mainly for me, this is my personal, you know, my personal thing, you know, my personal motivation has always been just inside of me. That's something that, you know, I'm determined to win, and I'm going to win at any cost, even if the road is long, I'm going to win regardless.
Yes. Wow, and so you're not one to blame. You know, there's some people that say, well, I blame this situation, I blame this person for this in my life. So you're not one to put the blame on others.
I don't blame people.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that there's some circumstances that have been out of my control.
Yes.
But you know, I don't blame people. I can never look at, you know, my lady and say this is your fault, or look at you know, somebody in my family and say, oh, this is your fault, or anybody else who I work with. I can look at them and say this is your fault. I could blame a company. I could definitely blame a company for something because, I mean, sometimes that's the case. But sometimes the company is in the wrong in a lot of cases. So I can blame them on that. But for anything that involves with me, I don't blame people for it, you know, but I can definitely blame, like, if there's an issue with my royalties, you know, from my album or something, and I'm waiting on that from, like, my distributor, then, you know, I can't take the blame for that. I can blame my distributor for them holding it up. You know, but I still see other opportunities if they are holding up, so I never rest on my laurels, you know, just if something goes wrong, I just can easily go ahead and try to fix it.
Okay, that's wild. Ooh. Well, in regarding the books, last time we talked, you discussed the books that you were writing.
Yeah.
If you hear me pause a little bit, it's because I'm talking to listeners in the chat room also. So they might have a couple of questions. Okay.
Okay.
The books. Tell us a little bit about the books.
Well, the book, it's kind of on hiatus right now because my laptop is kind of messed up.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, to be honest, I've been handwriting a lot of stuff. And,
yeah.
And just kind of waiting, you know, to get my laptop fixed. And once that actually comes back fixed, you can expect that in 2013, most definitely. I would say early to middle of 2013 that's going to be coming out. And right now it's going to be an autobiography and an afterword song, kind of like a self-help type of book.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering, if it was a music book or a novel, because T.I. and some other guys are into writing novels nowadays. So it's going to be a self-help book and an autobiography, both that I love. I love autobiographies and self-help books.
I also wanted to do a book where I dissect all of our music and kind of, you know, give the meanings behind every song and the experiences that brought every song.
That would be wonderful to write a book regarding your writing process.
Yeah, my writing process, each song, and, you know, kind of what motivates and what happens in the studio when I create or before I get to the studio. And that'll probably be out, you know, I'll say like October, November of 2013.
Oh, that sounds great. Wow.
Yeah, I love to write. So, you know, doing books is something I can see myself doing for the rest of my life.
I can relate to you. I love to write also. That a lot of listeners can relate also. Man, this sounds so awesome, so great.
Yeah, there's only so much time in a day, so I'm trying to pace myself so I don't, you know, go crazy because it's a lot. It's definitely a lot of, you know, headaches and, you know, you lack of sleep and. It's very tiresome, but at the end of the day, it's all worth it, you know.
Yeah. Well, can we take a break and play? I'm always playing your music. I don't know if you listen. How regular you listen to the show, but I pretty much play a song. I know every episode. I do, honestly. Let's take time to. I feel like listening to. Well, I was thinking about Modern Day Woman, but everything changes. You have time to play that?
Oh, yeah, I got as much time as you need.
Okay. True God, featuring Steve Dose.
True. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk global economics, electronics and chronic. Look beyond it, it's massive, the bomb sent to atomic. Riot gear, we lions here, roaring at demonic. Fear is for all the kids that's been hooked up on phonics. They say natural disasters, hot spin engineering. It's time to free your mind, your heart spinning. The fear it makes you wanna be optimistic and you being so fearless. But everybody see it, it's so dark in appearance. And we stuck in three wars, 9/11, the demeanor. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, from Haiti to Katrina. Makes you wanna be dreamers, niggas looking at FEMA. See the president. It's evident, it's often a smoke screen to represent whatever you can see in the hope dreams and pipe dreams. The decadence that we see, it's all the torture and forces the rest of you be. And you've been trying to open up and you've been trying to get free. Yes.
It was love with these games. All this talk of day another way. We just dreaming for a better day another day.
We don't need your lies. We won't compromise.
We just dreaming for a better day another way. We just dreaming for a better day another way.
And this is where we draw the line. We're changing.
We just dreaming for a better day another way.
Product of my environment, workers seeking retirement, no social security. Open up the conspiracy, hold up now, are you hearing me? Running from all the tyranny, lyrically moving waters, just know the devil ain't scaring me. Fearing me don't exist, I clearly walk through the mist, endearing me with the gifts that was given. Punching my fist, the paternal orders enlist. If you started feeling the shift, the news concealing the shit, but I'm revealing the script. So pick a role at your funeral, pick a soul that seems beautiful. Change it and meme it, then align with the stars and the numerals. Who are you, what you stand, with refugees in Sudan, or walk the streets of Japan? With knives and pistols in hand, louder so I can see you. A million rebels are equal to one nation of God. The power is with the people. No politics is inscription. The truth is never mixed up. So if you're ready to rise, then put your fist up. Truth.
It was fed up with these games. All this talk of change.
Just dreaming for a better day another way. Just dreaming for a better day another way.
Cuando camino, no estoy sola. Tengo un compañero de viaje aquí mismo, en mi vientre. Vemos un montón de cosas juntos. Bueno, él no las ve, pero creo que de alguna manera las vive. Quiero que nazca y vea las maravillas que este mundo puede ofrecer. Pero lo que más me interesa es que esté sano. Por eso camino. Y no soy la única persona que camina por mi bebé. Mucha gente lo hace al unirse a la marcha por los bebés. En nuestras caminatas estamos solamente yo y él y unos cuantos millones de personas que se preocupan por los bebés.
Un día todos los bebés nacerán sanos, pero tendremos que caminar para lograrlo. Participa en la marcha por los bebés de March of Dimes. Juntos podemos brindar a todos los bebés un comienzo sano. Visita hoy mismo nacersano.com para registrarte.
Hi, I'm Sean Johnson, Olympic gymnast. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, but I went on to win gold. Every baby deserves that chance, to grow up and shine. That's what March of Dimes is all about. Help me and the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. To get involved or to make a gift, visit marchofdimes.com.
Yes, support March of Dimes. Oh, yes, that was True God. True God, oh, yes, yes, yes. Love it. Okay, I'm in heaven. True God, are you there?
Yeah.
Your songs are honest and so true, but at the same time, they're so motivating. You know, you can talk about, you can mention, like, the most saddest thing, but yet your songs have that just motivating. You know, they're just so motivating.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot to do personally with just like the music and how it's put together and just the feeling behind it. And even if I'm talking about something that's, you know, bad or, you know, like, you know, saddening or even depressing, I still talk about it with so much energy and, you know, and so much hopefulness that it'll get better that I think, you know, just people can automatically gravitate to it.
Wow, so you do realize you do that. I guess because I'm like, wow, because some people can write and present material and it's sad and it makes you sad and making and you keep feeling sad, but you bring out a point, good or bad, but bottom line, you still feel good up in hearing your songs. I mean, all your songs are like that. You bring out you make a point and bring to attention. And I love it when you share, like you said, you share your personal life and your lyrics. And some of your lyrics are like, wow. Wow. I can't believe he said that. You know?
And I guess I kind of thrive off that because for me, you know, when I'm writing something, you know, I sometimes second guess myself, like, should I include this or should I say this? Or And then nine times out of ten now, if I question myself, I say, okay, I'm just going to put that in there just because of the fact that if I'm questioning myself, it's something that needs to be said.
Wow.
So that's kind of why, you know, that's kind of why I do music.
If you question yourself, you just go ahead and just put it out there.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
You realize there's a lot of people are the opposite. A lot of people when they put themselves, they're like, "Oh God, I better not go there." I don't know what's gonna come out.
I guess that goes to like the revolutionary, you know, spirit inside of me, and even on a personal level, there's certain things I'm like, I probably shouldn't talk about this. And on the next album, there's a lot of things that I'm thinking, you know, I shouldn't include on this. I shouldn't talk about, But, you know, I want people to understand as much as this is the name True God or even, you know, True God Immortal, you know, there's still a little bit of mortality here, you know, on a lot of different angles. So, you know, if I've ever made a mistake or if I messed up about something, I think people need to hear that, you know. Just because it's therapeutic for me to talk about any mistakes I made, any wrong I may have done, even in recent times, it's just kind of something I need to put out. And, you know, if I was in a, you know, at a crossroads with, you know, my personal life or any dilemmas or, you know, if I was trapped in like a, you know, like some type of love triangle or something like that, I would talk about it because that's what that needs to be said.
So it's all about
a lot of people don't want to talk about this stuff, but for me, anything I'm going through, regardless of what it is, I have to write it out because that's my therapy, you know, like I have people who look at me as if I'm a therapist to them, but I don't have anybody that I look at. I don't have a therapist, so, you know, the music becomes my therapist.
Exactly. I can't wait to work on my music. When you write, our listening audiences, like now, you know, the supporters and the fans and the listeners, it's a give and take situation. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure when you're co-hosting on Wrestling Heads, it's bouncing off of one another. It's amazing what the listening audience can do. I mean, the listening audience are vibing and learning from us, but it's give and take because I can feel the love coming from the listeners. You know, the love and just the respect and the support. It's just amazing. So you're sure right. It's all in our work.
Yeah. For me, I've had people tell me, you know, I'll probably just sit on a psychiatrist's couch and you know, there's a lot of stuff that I would probably talk out. And I was like, why do that? You know, I know somebody else is going through it. So, you know, for those 10,000, 15,000 people who might buy the album, you know, you might relate to it. You might relate to what I'm going through. So, that's just how I am. I got a story on my mind, and I know people are going to relate to it, so I put it into the music.
Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, if we would listen and share with one another, then, you know, why go to a therapist unless you just want to go, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why we should be there for one another, and if we don't physically embrace one another, metaphorically and musically embrace one another, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen that I could be pillars of strength for some people who I don't even know, like people kind of just take me. And, you know, that's just kind of, I guess, the nature of just maybe who I am as a person. And I think I make people very comfortable, so I believe that people automatically gravitate to me and they look at me as, you know, somebody they want around them or somebody they want to talk to. So, you know, and that's how I become people's therapist or, you know, stuff like that. I have people out, you know.
Yeah, because my writing also, my poetry and songs that I write, I'm similar to you. So not only do you incorporate your own life, but it's not like your writing is reflective also. Some of us can hear our lives in your songs too. If we think if we think something sounds familiar, is it possible it's not a coincidence?
Oh! That's 100%. Everything I say.
Don't be telling my business. Yeah. You hear me? I'm joking.
You know what it is. It's for me that everything I say in my lyrics, everything, you know, it's something that's already happened or something I'm living through. And
don't have me spitting out hot cocoa. Don't have me listening to your next album and I'm listening to a song and I hear my story. Like, wait.
Well, see, it all depends. It all depends on what your story is. It all depends on what people are going through, you know.
Yeah, you're like Taylor Swift. You know, Taylor Swift, whenever she breaks up with boyfriends, she write about them. People always try to figure out which ex-boyfriend is that about.
It's funny for me because if you listen to my album, even my love life, you hear exactly where I'm at, you know, soul revival, you know, getting everything right, and then DOA, it's like, you know, we're on great terms, and it's modern day woman, and then you go to, you know, the black experience, which is, you know, it's kind of still determined on what that is, you know, especially from a personal standpoint of talking about, you know, because I try to include songs, you know, either for females or for, you know, the lady of my life. And for this album so far, I really haven't had anything come out yet. So
yeah, because Modern Day Woman is inspired by your queen, your queen, mother of your princess.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But when I listen to that song, it sounds like it's for women, period. For us, you know. It reminds me of Chaka Khan's "I'm Every Woman." I'm Modern Day Woman. Yes.
You know, when I initially did the song, the lyrics were like tailored towards her, but you know, it really is a universal song, you know, because I believe in a celebration of women. You know, I believe that women, you know, definitely need to celebrate themselves. You know, and make sure, you know, always make sure they have their confidence and self-esteem, because I see so many women in this day and age who don't have that. So I definitely, you know. Try to promote, you know, positivity.
Well, we need more brothers like you of all races and from all over the world and all backgrounds. We need more brothers like you.
Well, I'll be honest.
I think it's the way that men, you know, I know we are modern day women, but 9 times out of 10, how progressive and how independent we women say we are, we still like the guidance. Some people might say, stop being so old fashioned, you're in the deep south, you know. But I think that we do need the guidance from you men. And it's so important when you motivate us and encourage us and guide us and pray for us. It's so encouraging. You just don't know. You know, friends like you and other friends of mine, I mean, it's so encouraging. You really do keep us on the straight and narrow. Songs like that, it really encourages us. And keep us on the straight and narrow. I might be just talking for myself, but I'm talking for a lot of women. You know, because it's amazing how certain lyrics can say, hey, he says I'm a modern day woman, and I feel like a modern day woman. You know, and that's important hearing from a guy that really know what he's talking about.
I have to be honest. There's also a flip side of that for me. I mean,
let's hear it.
You know, I'm not gonna lie. I have enjoyed some times of and if you could attest to this. If I'm angry, you know, especially in regards to women, I have a very different opinion from what you might hear in the modern day woman song. So I'm not gonna lie and act like everything is 100% perfect. You know, it really depends on the mood and what's going on in my life. And
we can get on your last nerve too, huh?
Oh, definitely. That's definitely. But you know, at the end of the day, for me, you know, there's just a certain respect level that I do have for females because, you know, being raised by a single mother, you know, I still have a certain level of respect. But, you know, for me, it also all goes back to the certain level of respect that women have for themselves.
Yes. And I guess that's pretty much what I was trying to get at. Songs like that reminds, I think, because some of us might tend to forget, you know, we demand respect, but it's the way sometimes we need to have a little self-respect. And songs like that can encourage us to say, hey, you know, remember, you are still a lady, still have some self-respect for yourself. You're a modern-day woman. Yeah, you're an independent woman. You know, even married, women in long-time relationships. So I'm independent. You can't tell me what to do. But still, you know, we have to remember, we're ladies and we're modern-day women, and there are some guys out there that do respect that, you know, that do deserve our respect.
And I feel like we as people, one thing that I'm always big on is relationships and, you know, the psychology of, you know, like love and you know, female and male interaction and relationship interaction.
Well, you should call in on Wednesday morning. You should call in on Wednesday morning sometimes. So that's when we talk about matters of the heart, love and relationships.
You see, I would. I'm going to work it.
Wow, I'm about to schedule a special show on a Sunday when we talk about relationships.
You know, because I love to talk about relationships. I mean, I'm a big proponent of relationships, and I've given advice to people, you know, and even in recent time about, you know, relationships, and I always tell people, you know, I can size up a situation pretty easy, and there's a lot of situations where, you know, I know this is going to work, or I know this might not work, or that might not work, and so this may work, and, you know, I just love to give, you know, give advice on these type of things, because it's like, I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you what I do know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that all just goes back to, you know, on a personal level, you know, I'm still learning every day. You know, with my situation, you know, I'm still learning, you know, and there's things that, you know, that I'm learning and, you know, she learns and, you know, whether or not it all actually works out in the end or not, if it doesn't, I don't think I can really have hard feelings, you know, considering the situation and the nature of everything that, we created something together. So regardless, you know, she's always going to have my utmost respect and my love, you know, regardless of whatever else happens.
Wow. You're one of those couples that I'm, like, surprised. You can hear it in my voice. You know?
Yeah.
Because even in your tweets, it seemed like you're still, you know, in a loving relationship. The few sweet tweets refer to her. So I didn't really, you know, I know you don't tell your business all on Twitter, but, you know,
I'll be honest, on Twitter, I've put out quite a few things about that. And a lot of people have, you know, asked about it. And I'm honest about it. If I make a mistake or if I mess up or if there's something I've done wrong, you know, I have no problem being honest about it because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to act like I'm perfect. I'm not going to act like she's perfect. You know, we're both flawed, you know, people. And, you know, sometimes things, you know, there's just things that happen. And especially when you add in, you know, like a whole new life that we're taking care of. So, you know, there's distance that's created and there's so many different things.
Wow. Well, the live stream is going to stop in a minute, you all, but we can continue on. We've been on 90 minutes, but if you want to, don't mind talking with us another 30 minutes, that's cool with us.
Yeah, that's fine with me. You know, what time do you need?
What did you say?
I've got as much time as you need. We could do another hour. I wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, wow.
And you know, it's a crazy situation, you know, but I definitely take full responsibility for my part in everything. So it's, you know, and you know, like I said, you know, whatever happens, happens in this situation, and I have no problem being honest about it. You know, even without going into a whole lot of details, I'm just honest about everything, and I'll definitely be honest about it on the next album, because it's something that I need to get out.
Wow. And by being honest, you encourage others to be honest.
You know why? Because I feel like men, and especially in hip hop music, you know, we create so many different like superheroes for ourselves. You know, like we're the player and we're this and that, and you know, we're out searching for females, searching for this, searching for that. And for me, you know, I've always been like, I'm not searching for anything. I feel like I have what I need. So, you know, if it does start to fall apart, or, you know, there's going to be, you know, issues, you know, I need to put that in the music. I need people to understand where I'm coming from with that, you know, people to recognize, you know, this situation, this is what it is, and no matter, you know, who's wrong, who's not, or, you know, who did something bad or who didn't, you know, this is something that's, you know, very real to me.
We can relate to things, and sometimes we have different perspectives, and I think it's good when you come from different perspectives, you know?
Yeah, and I've had these conversations, you know, there's a lot of things that I've explored, you know, mentally, with you know, just talking to, you know, like my, you know, my team, talking to my team. It's like, you know, I have, you know, guys on my team who are like, you know, they've been in long-term relationships, and they're like, you know, I feel like I'm bored, and I feel like I'm complacent in my relationship, or things like that. And for me, I never look at it like I'm complacent. You know, I've always felt like, you know, we've been able to keep each other entertained. You know, this is my side of just a regular relationship. We're just, you know, she's like my best friend, you know. So, you know, we have a type of bond. And it's still like that now, even to this day, it's still, you know, like that. But, I mean, there's so many different things when you talk about finances, or you're talking about, you know, the distance that, you know, comes with, you know, having to put a lot of focus into, you know, a child as opposed to a relationship. It's so much.
Now, where the focus is to be you, each other, you focusing on each other, now you're focusing on God, your baby, and the well-being of each other.
Yeah, and you know, and it's the thing, it's like our child, you know, becomes like the most important part, you know, of our lives, you know, in our different lives, because, you know, she needs so much attention and she needs so many different things that, you know, sometimes it does fall to the wayside of a relationship, but, you know, for me, I've always felt like it shouldn't. And, you know, and maybe she feels differently, and I think that's kind of what we clash with, is that she, you know, she can go into super mom mode, and I can go into super dad mode, but I'm still in, you know, super boyfriend mode or super fiance mode.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the part of where you clash. If you you know, kind of give up, you know, the lover side, you know, just to be a parent, you know, then everything is going to start to fall apart eventually, and it's kind of what started to happen. And, you know, like, and it's been a lot better. It's just that you're never sure. Life changes in an instant, and I think it's so ironic. On the song Z, I talk about this, you know, on the last verse. You know, what if it falls apart? You know, what if it doesn't work?
Oh, yeah, you sure did. Wow.
And I think I saw that, you know, ahead of time, like, we're gonna probably have some trouble, but, you know, I think we'll be okay. I said it a lot. You know, I'm pretty sure we'll be okay, but it changes within spurts. And when I say that, you know, it was an honest word. You know, I feel like I think we'll be okay, and we probably will be, but it's just going to take some time for everything to work itself out perfectly like it needs to. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I can't really, you know, I can't really ask for anything more. Just this opportunity to try to make it work. And if it does, it does. If it, you know, doesn't, it doesn't. I'm kind of at a different place in my life where I feel like I can accept it if it didn't. I mean, there's a time before where I would never accept it, but I think I'm at that point. If it doesn't, I can accept that, you know. It's weird. It's a weird feeling, though. I'll be honest. It's definitely a weird feeling, you know, to feel like that, but... I mean, that's just kind of, that's just life.
Wow. Yeah, because you all seem like like one of those perfect couples. One of those, you know, perfect couples.
And it's still there. I mean, it's good
to hear that you're maintaining a good relationship, though.
I mean, it's still there, you know, like, it's still, you know, I mean, the attraction is definitely always still there, and the bond is always still there, and it's still there, but, you know, it's just so many other factors. I think financially, you know, it starts to get, you know, draining because I have so much going on, and it's not like, you know, the money that comes from that is an everyday thing. It's not a weekly thing either, so, you know, I'm working in a corporate American job, and, you know, that's never a stable thing, you know.
We talked about that, wow.
You know, so there's so many different factors that factor into, you know,
wow,
any issues that we have.
You're working in corporate America, but then when you were just working, doing your entrepreneurial work, that had its, okay.
You know,
it was tough going on then, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, I'll be honest, it's tough because doing, you know, being an entrepreneur and you know, putting so much effort and time into it, there's so many different things that could go wrong. You know, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, you know, financially when you're doing everything on your own because, you know, you can only depend on yourself.
Exactly.
It's not like you can... It's not like you can look forward to a steady paycheck because, you know, your residuals come in when they come in. So that's kind of, you know, that's another, I guess it's the biggest downside to being an entrepreneur is that you're just always waiting for everything to come in.
And in entrepreneurs, we work regardless because we know that we're working and investing hard work and time and our talents and training or, you know, education. When one is an entrepreneur, this is for those that aren't entrepreneurs or who are considering and becoming entrepreneurs, but it's blood, sweat, and tears. You know,
yes, it is.
And it's sacrificing and it's investing not only money, but time is money. A lot of people, and I think you're probably one of those people that think that way too. I think that way. Time is money.
Yeah.
Money is time. So you might not see the money invested, but time is money. So
oh, definitely.
Look at all that time invested, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you
so,
know.
You know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of time, a lot of personal sacrifices that entrepreneurs make to be successful,
and,
not just for themselves, but for their loved ones, and to be able to create jobs for others.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the one thing that, you know, people don't really understand is that I've heard people, you know, who criticize what I do, and I kind of look at them like, you know, well, look at what I've accomplished. Man. Look at how much effort I've put in.
Some people, even being a successful artist and, you know, and people would still say, oh, that's just a hobby.
Yep.
Thousands of fans and supporters. Always on the media, people still would say, I don't know, maybe you don't get people saying that, but people would look at that just because you're an entrepreneur. They think entrepreneurs are doing just, oh, that's just a hobby. Hobby? You must be out of your mind. Hobby? I wish I did have time to participate in hobby.
And that's the thing. I hear it all the time.
Exactly. Now, it goes back to what people say, do what you love and the money will follow. You and I, we do what we love, and the money follows. The money will follow. The money will be there. We've seen the money before, and we see it again. You know,
so it is
about being. And back to what you were saying, people working in corporate America be unhappy, but then entrepreneurs, doing what they love, and eventually that money is made if you stick to it and stick with it.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the thing, you know, I like for a hobby, you know, a hobby is something you do when you're bored, you know, something that, you know, so everything that, you know, I'm putting on the spectrum into.
And have free leisure time.
Yeah,
hobby
and it's
is
not
like
that.
I have free leisure time to do this and just, you know, I mean, that is free leisure time.
Yeah, and people don't understand that part. They don't get that part. You know, this is all labor. You know, it's no hobby. It's all labor. It's all work.
Yeah. So then,
and you know, I guess they don't know. You know, they don't know because they never experienced it. So if they never experienced what it takes to, you know, to actually get to this point, then I can't really blame them. You know, for their lack of knowledge on what it really takes to, you know, win.
Wow.
You know, so if it's a hobby to somebody, that's fine. Fine, but, you know, all of the work I'm putting in is otherwise.
Exactly. But we've talked about your comic books, your books, the new album, the future radio shows, but we haven't talked about the screenplays. Well, you talked a little bit about the screenplays.
You know, the screenplays are just fun to me because... Because, you know, sitting down and coming up with dialogue with people and you know, setting scenes and things like that, it's just funny for me. Like, it's kind of weird because I'm doing it, and I'm thinking I'm doing it pretty well, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is funny. This is funny because I'm concocting, like, a whole conversation with somebody, you know, with people, or a whole scene and a whole movie in my head, and it's just crazy how, you know, how it actually looks when you see it on the paper.
Wow.
And you know, I don't necessarily know, you know, when the actual movies will be coming out. You know, we're still working on that. But you know, we're still coming up with ideas. We have some sci-fi movie idea. There's, you know, like a comedy.
Oh wow, it sounds like fun.
You know, we have so many different ideas that, you know, on my team that it's really just kind of a, you know, like. You know, like every day we have new ideas, so we just kind of start working on something new, and the screenplays are just kind of, you know, I guess we're just testing them out to see what we can really do with them, and then from there to see, you know, if we can actually make a movie with them.
Wow, that sounds good and interesting.
Mm. Yeah, so you know, like, hopefully you'll see some movies from us in you know, 2013 and maybe 2014.
And I know it's the documentaries. Talk about your YouTube. I don't call it webisode or this. I like watching it. The documentary of your writing process.
Oh yeah, with all the makeups of like my album.
You probably seen the subscriptions to your YouTube channel because I'm always telling others to subscribe to your channel and check out your YouTube channel.
And I'll be honest, I'm kind of neglected my YouTube channel because it's just I don't really have a lot of time. And you know, when I did, you know, the DOA album, I really didn't put videos up of me in the studio like that.
Yeah, you sure didn't. So talk about your other videos from that you put up last year, in
11. Well, yeah, I mean, when I was doing that, I just wanted to do something that I thought was,
making a soul revival,
Yeah, I wanted to do something that was different because I saw a lot of people who were, you know, they're putting out their albums. I didn't see that many independent artists actually giving you that much information behind their album and the creative process. So I wanted to do something that not only showcased, you know, what I was doing, what was going on with me, and everything like that. I wanted to, you know, give you a window into my personal, you know, life, like, you know, show you my personal inspirations for music, my musical inspirations, the literary, or, you know, my practice, like, writing, and show you me in the studio, concocting all the songs. So, it was something that, you know, like I shot the videos and, you know, the team, we kind of, you know, put it together. My lady, she helped out. You know, so it was just really fun actually, you know, doing like a, you know, like a mini documentary on YouTube. And you know, I'm definitely looking to do more documentaries.
And that documentary series is still up on your channel, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes, because I'm always directing everyone to it. So I love documentary and docufilms, and just to see that behind-the-scenes process is just so amazing. And in the way you're talking to the camera also, you know, it's just good because a lot of from veterans to new hands, you know, to new artists, you know, they want to see that and feel that.
And fans,
do not know, you know, some fans think and visualize, I wonder what process did he or she go through, you know, so that, like, gives you, like, an inside feel of what really happened.
Yeah, and I was honestly a little nervous, you know, doing the YouTube videos because, you know, I'll be honest, I'm sitting in front of, a camera and I'm just talking. So I didn't really understand. I'm used to having conversations with people, so that was just kind of funny to me. Like, I was like, what am I doing here? And, you know, it's one of those things where eventually I got used to it. And, you know, I didn't mind seeing myself on a computer, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't mind seeing me either. So it was, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, it kind of worked out. You know, I'm going to actually start making videos again soon. So you can subscribe and, you know, be waiting on that.
Oh, man, that's cool. Wow. And tell everyone where everyone can purchase BOA and all your other work.
Well, right now, Soul Revival, the first album, is actually out of print right now. We're working on getting that back up on iTunes. But, you know, you can definitely check out BOA on iTunes or Amazon or eMusic.com or there's like maybe five or six different outlets. Probably 30 different outlets that it's on, but I don't remember half of those.
Cool. They have good distribution with it. I always tell everyone to go to Amazon and iTunes, but that's good. You got good distribution for DOA. I thought so.
It is
doing pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah, it's doing pretty well. I think the biggest challenge for me is just getting paid from all those things.
I know, isn't that something? You have the celebrity, but you want to see that. Hey.
Yeah, and it takes forever. You know, like you're waiting like, you know, 5-6 months to just to get, you know, just to get your royalties from selling these records, and then there's a lot of issues with, you know, the distributor saying that you didn't sell this many amount, or they're saying you sold this amount, and then they're saying you didn't sell it. So
yeah, thank you for sharing that too with others, because other independent artists that are listening to you and independent entrepreneurs, period, those of us that work in sales, commissions, we can relate, because it takes forever for commissions and royalties and all, like you were saying, to come in. So, yeah, we still have to deal with the public and smile, but a lot of times we're waiting for that money to come in.
And that's the longest process.
Exactly. So we're giggling about it, but it's nothing to giggle about.
Exactly.
So that's a good point.
It's a very serious
matter. It's doing good on the chart.
you getting your paper, it's a whole other story. Exactly. I think we were pretty high on independent stuff for Amazon and hip hop, and seeing that it was just not seeing the financial, you know, it's a bit taxing, you know, mentally and emotionally, like I sold these records and I'm still waiting to be paid, or you know, and you're just waiting to see everything, and it takes forever.
And then they give you a deadline, want you to submit your information on time, want your royalties on time, right?
Yep, and I get it. That's just the business. That's just how it is, you know. If you're independent and you're distributing, you know, on your own, they know they're gonna do things like that. So it, I mean, it is what it is. I just wish they, you know, actually, you know, had them go to ratings. So.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I shouldn't have to, you know, go through, you know, like a 6-month waiting period to get paid for something, you know.
True. because you're probably already given your pay period. Given when, so they might be listening, or someone might call your distributors and say, "Oh, he put y'all on blast."
I had trouble with my first album because the distributor said, "Oh, this didn't sell," and this and that. And I'm thinking, I bought my own album, and that'll be the first sale from that. And I know people who have bought my album personally, hundreds and thousands of people, thousands of people. And to not see certain images off of my first distributor, I was kind of taken aback by that. So.
Wow, you sound like my cousin who's an author, and if you listen to the show sometimes on the morning time, sometimes she talks with us, and she's an author, and she talks about that regarding her royalties from her book. Like, oh my God, she said that she would know people have bought her books and where and everything. But when she talked to the publisher, oh, no records. Okay.
That's how they do.
Okay. Now, wait a second. I know for a fact.
That's how they hold on to their money. That's how they get paid off of you. And you get, a little bit of crumbs. That's pretty much all it is.
Wow. Man, that's something. Well, we've been talking about Martin Day Woman, so we talked about it earlier. Some people might not have heard Martin Day Woman, but if they listen to this show regularly, they have heard it. But can we play Martin Day Woman before we conclude the show, and then we still can talk a few more minutes?
Oh, sure, that's good. That's cool.
Okay. Unless you have more to talk about now, because we sometimes on Saturday nights, just a party, just talking, playing music, if people call in, sometimes, I think last week, I think I might have broadcast from 12 to 2:30. 2.5 hours. I think the show was 2.5 hours last week. here's, what were you saying?
We could keep talking. It's cool.
But here's Martin Day Woman. Love this song.
You exemplify the essence of a queen. Simplifying my stress while enterprising my dreams. Beautiful brown skin, ass switching when she walks in the room. Swaying our hips to earth, stars, and the moon. Everlasting mahogany. Photography can't capture the purity of your beauty as it grows in maturity. Shackled by insecurity, but free from mother nature's euphoria. Raising sons and daughters both to be warriors. You reside in my kingdom through your power and strength. Inside a land where men and women grow a power defense. I watch you in motion, divinity. I wanna keep you close to your emotional energy. You are one of a kind, baby. Something incredible. See your face every day, it's unforgettable. Kisses, lips, and everything is edible. The brown eyes now are just the gate to my soul. See, I'm usually in the driver, but you're taking control. It's cool.
The model woman needs some attention from that. She needs to learn affection to give her the mind. She wanna be loved. Just wanna be loved. She wants to love.
Ariel, Hermes, drip over that body, sexy caramel. You got me on this carousel cathartically. Loving that sweet brown, them kisses are fine. Beauty of my present, always in my mind. Fluorescent light shine, girl, you should be an essence. Maybe ebony or jet, cause your body's something heavenly. Singing to the melody, and this is what they telling me. Everywhere we go, all we see is a bunch of jealousy. Knew that I would choose you, knew that you had intrigue. Other girls were training wheels, but you was just 10 feet. Taking model portraits. Damn, girl, you're beautiful. Amazing, captivating, and that all just follows gorgeous. Immaculate appearance.
I know that God's design brought you right into my presence, so there's never interference. And the angels let us hear, baby, intervening path. So never fear the small drama in between the laughs. True.
The mother,
yeah. Fight the foretaste, so let me wind and dine you with candlelight and foreplay. It's time that I remind you. Lay within your realm as I cultivate your brain. Don't let my past hinder you or alterate your brain. We can take the lead, baby, always alternate and change. Cause control is not an issue, I can often take the blame. What is this, baby? It might be something I'm not used to. Love and abundance got a nigga feeling truthful. She like Lauryn Hill, I like Nas shit. She gotta love that DOA, I call it God shit. She likes some R&B, she listening to hard shit, but like to sit and cuddle whenever all of the cards flip. And that's why everything that she does next to me, baby, what's your name? Just for now, I'll call you Destiny, and you shall get the best of me. I'll give you the recipe, and I plan to be by your side until the death of me. True.
True God.
God. True God. I don't know what happened. I'm not getting True God. Number's still on the phone. Here's a PSA. Hopefully we'll hear him after the PSA.
This is Janice Nolan. I'm Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy for the American Lung Association. I'd like to talk to you about the health effects of outdoor air pollutants. We've known for a long time that air pollution can cause very serious health problems, including killing people. We have times in our past history when we have seen the deadly health effects from episodes of air pollution. And in fact, about 40 years ago, the United States took the step of putting the Clean Air Act into place to provide a way for us to clean up pollution so that we could reduce this terrible burden on our health. Air pollution, however, today remains a serious threat to our nation's health. We as a nation must remain committed to providing healthy air for all of our citizens. Air pollution is actually more dangerous for some people than for others. For infants, for children, for teenagers, our seniors, for anyone with lung diseases like asthma or chronic bronchitis, for people with heart disease, and even people with diabetes, and even people who are healthy adults who are outside or exercise outside, are all at risk when air pollution levels are high. These folks are much more vulnerable to the harm that air pollution can have on our bodies. People everywhere can be harmed by air pollution, from newborn babies whose lives are cut short, to grandparents who suffer heart attacks, to healthy, vibrant lifeguards even, whose lung function is reduced, as we found in some recent studies. New research is warning us that women in their 50s may be particularly at risk from air pollution. We also know that people who are forced to breathe diesel exhaust and other engine exhaust on the job, like truck drivers and dock workers, may face greater risk of developing lung cancer or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. People with low income or some racial and ethnic groups often face greater exposure to pollution because pollution sources like factories and power plants may be closer to their homes. Census data tell us that many people live near areas with heavy highway traffic, and highways are major sources of air pollution. Having poor access to health care for any reason may also make some people vulnerable. Some racial and ethnic groups also have higher incidence of diseases like asthma or diabetes, which makes them more at risk from air pollution.
Wow. The air pollution is something. True God, are you on air? True God. I don't know what happened. His number is still on the switchboard. Don't know quite what happened, but tell me this isn't so. I had just received an email from the Hollywood Gossip. Many of you might have already heard this. But they're reporting that Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez have broken up. Another one of my favorite couples. I can't believe this. They're a young couple with busy schedules, but you know, I thought things were working out being a young couple too, a young Hollywood couple. But they said that they broke up about a week ago. That's what the Hollywood Gossip is reporting, that they've broken up, and apparently it took place about a week ago. Don't know what to say about that. My goodness, they broke up about a week ago. They've been dating for over a year and a half, and the split has come. And they mentioned something about when I had trust issues, and they both have busy schedules and so on. So wow, we'll go in more detail on Monday, talking about other. Of this story and other entertainment and lifestyle news. And, I had not heard of this until I received this email tonight, this evening, tonight, just then, in my book. It says Selena apparently was the one who ended it. And they say sources close to them said because she had trust issues. So, wow. But there's other stories to talk about also. So, oh, yeah, Gossip Cop is breaking the story. And a few other outlets are breaking the story. So it must have really hit the press this evening, today, this morning. True God. I don't know what happened to True God's audio. Not on right now. But we... I was going to conclude the show like right here at 11, but I'll play a few more tunes and hopefully we can get True God back on air. I was preparing to invite him to come back on and talk with us next Saturday night as we talk about entertainment and lifestyle news stories, because I love to hear his perspective also in regards of current entertainment and lifestyle news stories as we talk about entertainment, lifestyle news stories, and play the awesome music that we love to play on Weekend Edition, Saturday, Weekend Edition of Cut the Shark Entertainment Report. So I was prepared to invite him to come and be a part of the next Saturday show also. So, wow, and maybe he could, we could play a couple songs that he said as he should have sent to me to play tonight. You know, maybe I could play a couple of those songs next week also. So hopefully we'll get him back live on air before we conclude the show. So I'll go ahead and play a couple hot tunes. Remember, Rihanna's on Saturday Night Live now. Anne Hathaway is hosting it. So here's a click. Kanye West featuring Jay-Z, and hopefully we'll hear True God before the show concludes. But thank you for having a fun time with us tonight doing the live broadcast of Weekend Edition called the Shark Entertainment Report.
Of our imagination, MTV Cribs. Now I'm looking at a crib right next to but she accused. You aren't really drunk, keep the tap through bruised. Pass the refreshments, a cool, cool beverage. Everything I do need a news crew's presence. See, go swerve, homie, watch out for the waves. I'm way too black to burn from sun rays. So I just meditate at the home in Pompeii about how I could build a new Rome in one day. Every time I'm in Vegas, they screaming like he's Elvis. But I just wanna design hotels and nail it. Is real, got me feeling Israelian like Bob Raffaella Giselle. No, that's Vazelia. Went through deep depression when my mama passed. Suicide, what kind of talk is that? But I've been talking to God for so long. I ask you, look at my life, I guess he's talking back. Fucking with my clip.
Performing on Saturday Night Live. If you all missed that performance, you know she'll probably perform another song before the end of the broadcast. So, yay. Here's my favorite teen sensation. Speaking of teen sensations, tweens, here's David J. straight out of Georgia. Ooh.
Yeah. It's David J.
My philosophy. Oh, my God, DJ Swan. I love Mr. DJ Swan. Can't wait to get him on the show, too. Internationally known, based in San Antonio. Stand up, San Antonio. What's up, San Antonio? Love it, love it, love it. I need to add more of his music to my playlist. He's just awesome, awesome talent, I must say. Let's see if True God, True God's number is still on my switchboard. I hope he's in listening mode because I'm not getting audio from him. True God. I hope True God can join us next Saturday also and just talk about everything like we do and just listen to different music and send some of his music also for us to play. But here is, oh, man, Flo-O. What's up, San Francisco? Fillmore represent.
This is the Cashmere Masterpiece.
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Relax. Yeah, relax, for real.
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Welcome to the Fly Zone. Southwest, welcome to a fly world. Through the way, clear the board. See the stakes, chips aboard. This is magic, black hammers, black rabbits. Out the hat, figure that, to figure this a nigga. It. Nothing else to think about. I'm sitting here, I'm airing out of my space. My plate is sitting full, pedaling. I flow like medicine. I keep pedaling. Get it in. Tonight we about to somersault. The weight we about to run it off and navigate out of state. I'm that fly, that yay. Just break the re-break. Scratch like the sweepstakes and bring it back like rebate. Yeah, sound like the late greats. A way different pedigree. I'm sort of hard to intake. Mean that literally. The kid just killed a beat. A whole nother entity. It's kind of hard to figure me.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Welcome to the Fly Zone. The galaxy, I put together masterpieces in your face, battling down south, Catalan pounds with my mans and them. Hit me on the chirp again to piggyback to work again. All at it, all on it, push till it's all provoking. Niggas talk, I'm really on it, really fly, fly zone, and I'm on it. I can kiss the sky, nigga, waterway, bricks, pounds. I can clear the car, nigga. Yeah. I can clear the card, nigga. Either way, the dice shake. Flow comatose in a boy satellite fly. Welcome to my world, nigga. Next play, the best play. I get them for the low, nigga.
Hello? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Welcome to the Fly Zone.
What up, though? It's your host with the most, Big Snoopy Deagle Double G. And you inside this techno dance mixtape brought to you by, that's right, y'all, BLE. Radio station BLE on your dial. You dig? We're going to kick it off with a little something like this. We'll be right back.
True God. True God, are you on with us? His number is still on my switchboard. But, True God? Hopefully he's in listening mode, though, and hear all the good action. True God? Hopefully he's in listening mode, and because I'm inviting you back to spend time with us next Saturday also. But it has been a super blast of a good time talking with True God for 2 hours from 9 to 11 Central Standard Time. It was just a blast talking with him. I hope we can get some audio from him before I conclude the show, because it looks like it's going to be going, if it doesn't conclude in a couple of minutes, it looks like we'll be going to midnight and just playing some good music and whatever freaking news I might get, I'll share with you. But again, check out True God Immortal. Tweet him at True God Immortal, T-R-U-E, God, G-O-D-I-M-M-O-R-T-A-L. Check out his YouTube channel at True God Tube TV. He also has a blog site, True God Immortal, blogspot.com.